Hello, welcome back to the D&D show, part two of today's episode. Oh, forget where we're at now. 13, I think. Yeah, hello. How is everybody doing? Good break? Good drink?
Yeah.
Exquisite.
Had a lovely piss. It was brilliant.
Excellent, yeah, same.
Sean. Did you go indoors or just in the garden?
I just went in with pants, mate. It's fine.
Just keep yourself
I'm wet enough as it is.
Warm your ass out there.
Yeah.
Is it raining?
Yes, it's still raining. No. But only really, it's that really small, horrible rain.
Fine rain.
The pretend rain.
Yeah.
I love the way Sean's like, oh, fine rain, as in, yeah, I've got it, mate.
I've got so many text things open around me. It's insane.
Cool. Yeah, so all topped up with drink. I've got another nice Aldi beer. This one is a Buckhorn Brewery Stateside IPA. Sean was bragging, or Pock was bragging a moment ago. He's got his...
Apple JD.
Apple JD.
Yeah.
No one told me of this.
Oh, slush. It's like apple juice for grown-ups.
Yeah. Just your sippy cup.
ones that are playing online games called Dungeons and Dragons, those types of grown-ups. Yeah. Lisa has touched base.
Yeah.
She said, great start. I won't be able to watch all of it, but if one of you kills me, make sure you avenge me.
Oh, bless her. Well, luckily, this thing's recorded, so she can catch up on it later.
Luckily, I took a hope of vengeance, didn't I? So, hopefully.
You did.
Yeah. Quick catch up for if you, for some reason, haven't listened to or watched the first half of this and you're just joining us now, then we set the scene, a lovely bit of a flashback into some of Pock's history and past, and then we dive straight back into the combat where we finished last episode. Everyone's still alive, but reinforcements have arrived. Some hobgoblins have turned up, and shit is now starting to get real. But otherwise, you're doing well. You've healed up. Millicent has done some healing words. Scapes hasn't actually used any of his healing yet, so you've still got that as well. And I think you guys still have a couple of potions between you knocking around as well. But I think you're largely doing all right. Burr is surrounded by the Ranin, like Han Solo, and is now surrounded by a number of goblins and hobgoblins.
Yeah.
The rest of you are kind of bottlenecked still in that room down the south of the castle. Next up in the initiative, we have a
gobble.
5, 10. Goblin comes out of this side room. Oh, they're just pouring out. This is just a normal goblin, a little one. And he's like, oh, and he's got, what's he going to do? He can get through his allies. Does he charge through and take an attack against Burr? So he's going to go next to Burr and make an attack.
Ish. I can't wait till I get that. There's a spell I know a druid can do where you can just create a wall of stone.
Yeah.
And like every room we go into, once I have that, well, I'm just going to block all the doors off.
Yeah.
Just
block them up.
Shit, surround ourselves.
What's your AC, Burr?
15.
Oh, yeah, he misses you by a mile.
Tidy.
You know, he's little. He manages to wiggle his way through the goblins and stuff. Tries to take a swing at you, but misses. He's then going to use his ability to disengage, come down here somewhere. I'm not even counting his movement. Scapes, you're up.
Okay, so obviously,
you've got a hobgoblin in front of you.
Yep, I want to hunter's mark him and then take a swing. I've rolled it. Now we just have to wait. Isn't it exciting?
You're rolling in roll 20. Let's get yourself some dice.
Come on. Yeah.
I'm
at the other house today, so I've got nothing.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, Gavin, send you some.
Oh, look at that. A 20.
Yeah, so a dirty 20.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Right.
So that's a hit.
That's nine plus a d6.
Yeah, so 9 points of damage. And then your hunter's mark for the suspense, another 4. Oh.
There you go, 4.
I'm going to tell you that the original nine was more than enough to kill it.
Hey,
anyway,
okay.
Yeah.
So it dies.
It tries to
block you with its shield, but you just put so much force down with that magical plus one longsword as it comes down, and you just smash through the shield, lopping off his arm, and he falls to the ground. You still have a movement left if you want to move up into the room.
I would. I'd like to move right up just to the south of Burr. Just
do it.
Just so no one can flank him.
About 15 feet up. Is that your move finished there?
It is, sir.
Use your bonus action to move your mark, didn't you? So that's fine.
Yes, I did.
Another goblin bursts out of that side room, charging his way through his mates, sees Burr, sees you, and thinks, well, there's a his friends has already got Burr covered, but currently there's nobody engaging you. Let's go for it.
Yep.
This die is going in the bin. I rolled a two.
Oh no. That's me, a bit higher than
this
that.
This was my nice HD dice that I've got, one of my posh sets. But it's going in the bin. You're going in the naughty corner.
No, yeah, we like it. We like this set.
Yeah, keep that on.
I'm gonna get out my Chessex instead for the next one. Okay, that's and then it's going to disengage. Just want to check something. In the description for this place.
There's a good chance you might hear puss puss in the background when you get my recording because the missus is called.
Just hear something, yeah. That's all right.
Is that your nickname?
Yeah. Okay, that's fine. So it's going to take the its disengage action that it can do as a goblin and... Oh no, it's got no movement left. It's just used all of its movement to get there. So it can't do that. It's stuffed. It went 5, 10, 15, 20, 25. Oh, he's got 5 feet of movement, so he's gonna take a step back to there. Next up, this is a goblin. This goblin had a bow out previously, didn't it? So again, it's going to go 15 into this corner using its bonus action. It's got its bow out from last round and it's gonna ping off a shot. Probably a Burr, because why not? 13 to hit?
No, 15.
Yeah, misses. So Burr, you're up. So you've got a hobgoblin right next to you, but there's lots more around this area.
Yeah, I haven't really got much choice other than to attack him or disengage, and I don't really want to leave Scapes in the lurch.
No, but you could move one space northeast, and then you can attack two of them, just in case you kill the shit out of one with the first hit. Like, do you know what I mean?
You never know.
Absolutely, yeah. You can do that. Yeah, I mean, you can split up your movement between your two attacks, but yeah, right, you can skirt around it to there.
Move to there. 16.
16.
That's a miss, I'm afraid.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, as I said, everyone, they are wearing chainmail and they have a shield. Heavily armoured.
What can I do now, then?
You've still got your bonus action, so you can make a second attack.
Make my second attack. I suppose we'll do that on the same one. Oh, fuck off. A three.
That's a miss.
Yeah.
Never mind.
Jeez. I'm going to get splatted there.
So the hobgoblin who is now to your left that you just skirted round is going to make an attack.
Of course he is.
20 to hit.
Yeah, that's a hit.
For 5 points of damage.
Okie doke.
So, Pock, it's your turn.
Just want to clarify a sentence with the GM.
Mm-hmm.
Each object in a 20-foot cube within range.
Yep.
Does that mean I get to pick the area, or is that from me?
So, what's the range of the spell?
60 feet.
So you pick a point within 60 feet that you can see, and then it creates a 20 foot cube on that point.
So I've got fairy fire in mind to give everyone advantage, but I think it also gives
them advantage.
If they're in it as well.
Oh, that's not good.
Mm. Nah, that's not. I think not helpful, is it really?
I mean,
it's a 20 foot cube. And I've got a range of 60 feet to do it and my movement.
Yeah.
So
this is a very enclosed space. This corridor, this kind of, I can't think of the word. It's not quite a corridor. It's like the entranceway to this castle, foyer or something. You know, it's 20 foot wide, 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30 feet long. It's like a T junction. So there's a little point that comes out of it, which is another sort of 10 foot square. You could put it from where... You need to move a little bit. I mean, you could put it sort of behind the hobgoblin in the far end so that it wouldn't get any of your allies, but then you would only probably be able to get two hobgoblins with it. You could put it in the east of the room, but you would probably still end up getting...
Yeah, everyone else, wouldn't
everyone
I?
Everyone else. So,
no, I won't do that. Well, I've got a produce flame cantrip, so I think I'm going to bang that off and aim it at something... through the doorway.
Maybe one of the hobgoblins, since they're the armoured ones.
Yeah. So when you cast this as an action or a later turn, you can hurl a flame at a creature within 30 feet of you, and I make a ranged spell attack.
So what's the casting time of the spell?
Casting time is an action.
So does it say that you can, because to throw it at somebody would be an action, so are you able to throw it at somebody as part of the same action?
What do you mean?
So in the spell description, I'm seeing if it's in the... It is, let's have a look.
Casting time, one action.
So you're one action on yourself. So a flickering flame appears in your hand. The flame remains there for the duration and harms neither you nor your equipment. The flame sheds bright light in a 10-foot radius and dim light for an additional 10 feet. The spell ends if you dismiss it as an action or if you cast it again. You can also attack with the flame, although doing so ends the spell. When you cast this spell or as an action on a later turn, you hurl the flame at creature. So it was one action to cast it, and then you'd need a second action to throw it. So you wouldn't be able to make an attack with it on the same round that you cast it. So you cast it this round, and it's in your hand, and then next round you can throw it.
Oh, okay. Oh, fuck that. I use my short bow.
Yeah. It says there quite specifically, or as an action on a later turn, you hurl the flame. So
I see. Okay. Right, I'll have a short bow. Let's get rid of this bastard down here then.
Yeah.
The goblin.
That's not good, is it?
It's not good. It's a two. It's a fucking two.
Is it a hit, Jim?
Four in total.
Four. Yeah. yeah, luckily this goblin is butt naked and asleep. No. That's a miss.
They can't do that to me.
That's a miss, I'm afraid. All right.
Fuck's sake.
Do you want to move?
Sorry. Nah.
No, you're going to stay down there in that room. That's fine. It's a good place to be.
There's nothing I can do close that's better than what I've got, so I might as well stay out of the way.
That's the one, mate.
Okay. Fuck's sake. Next up, we have a hobgoblin who is now... He was the one that was guarding the door previously, and Burr was nicely enough to present himself right in front of him. So what choice does he have but to swing an attack?
He should hurt himself.
Just randomly decide just to stab
just
himself.
Turn around, yeah. Seppuku. Four.
Oh, good. Excellent.
That's a miss, yeah. Even with his modifier.
Swings and roundabouts.
So he's swinging at you, but you know, you're this little dwarf and you're nimble, you're swashbuckler, you're like Zorro. You just manage to kind of nip out of the way. You can't get at you. Hiding behind the shield. Millicent is up. Millicent can now get into the room and make some melee attacks, or she could use the vicious mockery again, because whilst it doesn't do a lot of damage, it does have the benefit of doling out a disadvantage. But it is all pending a failure of a saving throw. It's up to you. She's got two weapon fighting, so she can run it in and make two attacks on something if you want. What do you think Millicent would do?
So she has a second level spell slot left.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's wise saving that for a healing.
I would.
Yeah.
Should we let her do a melee attack then?
Yeah, I would. She's got her two swords out. I'll charge in and take care of that goblin. That'd be my advice.
Get her just south of that goblin and just whack it. And
roll a d20 to hit, plus whatever it says on her character sheet.
She's the other dice.
For her short sword.
11 plus...
5.
Sounds about right. I'll just check. First page, box on the bottom right, short sword is a plus 4.
So 11... 15.
Plus 4 is 15. That's a hit.
Yay.
Damage
is
a d6 plus...
1d6 plus 2. That's a 2 plus 2 is 4 in total.
4 points of damage. He doesn't like it, but it's because she's got a dagger in her other hand, which is a light weapon, she can make a second attack. So again, roll a... how much damage was it? 4? So then roll a d20 for a second attack.
Oh, yeah, I've just done that. That's a 19 plus... whatever she has for attack. 19 plus 4, so 23.
Now, dagger does just a d4 point of damage, and because it's the bonus action attack, it's just a straightforward d4 damage.
That's a 4.
Yay.
Excellent. So she charges in there, hops over a dead hobgoblin. She swings out of her sword, throwing the goblin off balance. She brings the dagger around straight in the side of the neck, kills it dead.
Yeah, it's nice.
Love it.
Dead goblin.
We have a hobgoblin who is up there. The other hobgoblin, now seeing a way in through the room as things have moved, charges back down past his friends, straight into Scapes.
No.
Fucking, I need to find some way of getting rid of your armour.
No. I'm not doing this naked.
He misses. Next campaign, no paladins, I'm telling you. that goblin is dead, so Scapes, you're up.
I'd like to move just to the... Actually, I'll stay where I am for now, and I'll just nut Hunter's Mark and then nut this goblin.
Do it.
All right, just give it a minute to bake. 17. That's 12 points of damage plus the 6.
Yeah, it would be, but 17 is a miss.
Ah, jeez.
What?
Chainmail and a shield.
17, I hit him.
You miss him.
What, not with 17?
No, that's a miss.
Oh, we don't.
So it's just going to be me and them at it for the next 4 days.
Literally. This happens.
You'll cut his leg off and he'll be fine. It'll be like that thing in Monty Python. Was it the Black Knight?
Yeah, that's it.
Come back here, I'll bite your balls off.
We're going to have to
use something to get disadvantage on them, won't we?
I've got a fairy fire, but you're all in the way.
You're going to have to move.
Yeah. Okay, can I take a movement then?
Yeah, you absolutely can. Of course you can. Where do you like to go, sir?
I would like 20 foot cube.
Catch.
Yeah.
I'm going to move back one space just to here.
So as you step back, you leave its reach, so it gets to make an opportunity attack against you.
Yep.
If he can.
Yeah, if he can. 18 to hit.
No, 19.
Fuck's sake.
Go do one, mate.
Yeah. And then you step back 5 feet, open up the room. So now Medicine is just kind of, you step back down south towards Pock, opening up the mid of the room. Medicine is still, where she was hiding behind you, is now kind of open a bit. But there we go. Goblin, this little goblin over here, straight in front of him at Medicine, I suppose. 10, I'm guessing that's going to be a miss.
What do you reckon, Pock? Is that...
Shit, sorry. I was miles away.
It is, it's got to be. It's got to be high.
Her armor class is 14.
Next goblin was firing at Burr previously, but can no longer see Burr, so we'll fire again at Millicent with a 19. So that's going to hit.
That's going to hit.
And a short bow is a D6. Ugh, that's a crap roll. 3 points of damage to Millicent. It's back round to Burr.
Okay, can I disengage? If I disengage from there, do I...
You're a swashbuckler, aren't you? So,
They don't get any attacks of opportunity if I disengage, am I right?
You've got a number of options. Anybody can use their action to disengage, which means that you cannot incur any attacks of opportunity until your next turn. You could do that, but that means that you will not be able to make an attack at all this round.
It's fine.
The other option that you've got is, as a rogue, you can use your cunning action as a bonus to disengage. So that way you could make one attack and then disengage. The swashbuckler, if you make an attack against a creature, that's one specific creature cannot make an attack of opportunity against you. But because you're surrounded by three, if you were to do that, the other two still would. Yeah. So it's really up to you what you want to do. I would possibly make an attack against one of them, see where you're at, and then decide whether you want to make a second attack or whether you want to use your bonus for the cunning action instead.
Right, I'm going to roll against one in front of me, I guess. 17 plus...
it's 22. Five.
Yeah, that's a hit, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which one are you attacking?
The one directly... the one north of me.
Directly north. Absolutely. Okay, yeah. So you roll your damage, and then you might as well add on your... Don't forget your 2d6 for sneak attack.
5 plus 3.
Right, just give me a second before you make that sneak attack.
Yeah.
So 8 points of damage. Normally, for sneak attack, you need to have either advantage on the roll or an ally within 5 feet, which you don't have.
No.
The swashbuckler can get the sneak attack, but I think... You have to be one-on-one. Can you just double-check that for me?
You don't need advantage on your attack roll to use your sneak attack if no creature other than your target is within 5 feet of you.
Okay, so you don't get a sneak attack.
Don't get that.
So you don't get a sneak attack. You've done 8 points of damage, and that's it.
That's all right.
So now you need to decide.
And then I can move.
Do you want to disengage with the cunning action, or do you want to make a second attack?
I mean, I could take a second attack, but it's the problem. If I can get away, then it opens up the floor for Pock. Yeah, I'm going
to
move.
And also, if you can get to just to the east of me as well, we've kind of got them all blocked off, haven't we?
Where's that to the east of you? So behind you, yeah?
No, you know where the dead goblin is.
Basically, directly south to you.
Oh, straight it's down.
20-foot cube is what I'm after.
Yeah.
Massive. So if I move behind you, Scapes?
Well, I say just to the east of you.
Literally, just standing next to Scapes is what you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right, yeah, okay. But it's up to you, though, Burr, mate. Behind me if you want.
All I'm thinking is there's a goblin just to the diagonal right of me.
That's
there,
okay.
But
that's all right.
It's fine.
So you've used your cunning action as a bonus, so nothing can make an attack of opportunity against you this round. And you've moved yourself 15 feet south next to Scapes, kind of forming like a wall, basically. Now there's the two of you plus Millicent pretty much arm in arm, which is a good tactical move.
Which we'd probably get advantage for that, haven't we, on all our rounds?
Oh, well, I don't know about that. Right. And this hobgoblin is going to run around his mate 5, 10, because he had you. He saw you and he was going to go for you, but then you ran away. And he's going to charge after you and make an attack against Burr and miss.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then we're down to Pock.
Come on.
Pock man.
Fairy fire's going off then.
So basically.
So I need a 20-foot cube. So
that's fine, you can do that. So pretty much from, if you can see, you're basically going from this square, 5, 10, 15.
Do I need to move in a bit?
So you're basically going from 20 feet right up there. Do you see that?
All the way around, yeah.
Crack him.
Yeah, and then 20 feet.
Yeah, brilliant.
So we'll literally get every single one of them and none of you.
Perfect.
Will that give us advantage then against them, will it?
They'd have to fail a saving throw, but yes. So what's the details? Fairy fire.
So each object in a 20-foot cube is covered in a fancy coloured light.
Yep.
Any creature in the area when the spell is cast is outlined in a light if it fails a dexterity saving throw.
Dexterity.
For the duration, objects and affected creatures shed a dim light.
Okay.
Any attack roll against the creatures has advantage if the attacker can see it and the affected creature object can't benefit from being invisible.
So, dexterity saving throw, what's the score to beat?
We are looking at a DC 13.
Okay. Dexterity for first hobgoblin at the north succeeds and does not glow. Second one, what colour are you going to make him glow in?
Oh, pink.
Yeah, good man.
Third hobgoblin does not glow.
It never goes well.
And then the little goblins. Okay. That's it. One of them glows up in pink.
Yeah. Fuck.
Well, it's better than kicking the teeth, mate.
This happens. This happened last time. It was like four of them, but one of them passed.
Yeah, it's a tough one because you're still low level. So you're
it's the DC that fucks it, isn't it?
Yeah. But when it works, it's brilliant. See, but still, one of them, that's great. You know, it gives you advantage against one of them. It's better than nothing. Well, some good teamwork going on there as well. You've positioned yourself well.
That's all my spells fucking jobs.
Okay, so do you have anything else that you'd like to do this round, Pock?
Do you know what I should have done? And I'm a dickhead for not doing it. Is prepared produce flame last round. At least I'm going to fucking use it this round. Why didn't I do that? What an idiot. Right, I'll prepare. I'll prepare. Produce flame.
Is that a cantrip?
It is a cantrip.
Is it a bonus action?
It's an action.
Okay. So you can't.
That's why I didn't do it. Yeah.
Yeah, you shot your bow last time.
Bonus action wise, I don't think I have anything. So I think that's me.
And you're just going to stay stood there behind, sort of like in the doorway.
I'll come in a bit. I think. Can I go here? Is that okay?
If that's where you want to be.
Yeah.
You move up sort of 10 feet and put yourself behind Scapes and Burr. That's fine. So it is a hobgoblin's turn. It can make a choice now whether it wants to attack Millicent or Scapes. Scapes.
Yeah.
Odds or evens?
Even.
Even it is.
Yay.
Okay.
Don't know why I'm saying yay to an attack.
Right, it's less likely to hit you than it is anybody else. So, and it misses. Fucking
yay.
Get in the bin. Millicent's up.
Right, everyone into the corridor, mate. I'll stand in the doorway.
Yeah. Literally, I think I said it to you guys before, but it might have been off air. Last time I ran this module with a group, it's exactly the same place, exactly the same corridor. Paladin just fucked everybody up. Just stood in there and just everything swamped it, and I couldn't hit it for shit. And he just slowly. I think I had a couple of other people on saving throws, and he just stood in there, just like hacking away at stuff because I couldn't touch him.
let's have a go at the guy in front. I think.
Mm-hmm.
On Millicent's behalf,
yep.
Seems the sensible thing to do. Yep. Yeah, feel free to step in, anyone.
No, if go I'm for it.
Calling, no.
Calling
I
shit.
I that.
Don't think she can do anything else. Roll a d20.
No. Oh my god, it's a 3.
No.
That's a miss. She can use her bonus action for something, either a second attack with a dagger or a healing word if anybody needs it.
Does anyone need healing?
No.
I'm on 12. I should be all right.
What's your overall HP?
Over HP is 25.
Oh, yeah. Get yourself a healing there, maybe.
Yeah, go on.
It's the last. What's the healing potion situation? Who's got one?
I've got one.
I think I've got one because I didn't use it, so.
What's worth more, her healing or the potion?
Depends how well you roll. So a potion will give you 2d4 plus 2. So, you know, a minimum of 4 and a maximum of 10. Her spell gives a d4 plus 5. Is that right? So a minimum of 6 and a maximum of 9.
Do you want to bang your healing potion and then we'll save the spell?
He'd have to use his action on his turn.
I have to use it as an action, so I won't be able to.
Oh, shit. Attacks. Oh, yeah. Do you want me to do it?
Can do.
It's up to everyone.
Because otherwise, if I duff that potion, I'm just going to get attacked again anyway.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Do it.
So she's
has she still got a first level spell slot free?
She has a second level spell slot free.
No more first. So if you cast it as a second level, it does more healing.
Okay.
So I think it's 2d4. Let me just check it.
Sweet.
Oh, could be good.
You're about to feel really fucking good.
healing word. When using a spell slot at second level or higher, the healing increases by 1d4 for each spell slot above first. So yeah, so it'll be 2d4 plus her spell casting ability modifier, which is a plus 5.
Cool. Okay, right, come on.
So yeah, it'll be 2d4 plus 5.
That is a 6 plus 5, which is 11.
That
takes me
there
up
you go.
To 23.
Okay.
Crack him.
Brilliant. That's Millicent's turn. I'm assuming she probably doesn't want to move.
No.
Stay she there. Might as well stay keep there. Him bottlenecked. Lovely.
Yeah.
Hobgoblin.
All creatures, great. And
I mean,
small
it's within 5 feet of Millicent, but it's kind of just going to be attacking around a corner. Now, let me just. Okay, I'm going to rule that it can try and take an attack at Millicent, but I'm going to give Millicent half cover, which will give her a plus 2 to her AC. So that's going to give her an AC of 16.
Yeah, I think it's 14 before, isn't it?
It misses roll a 2 anyway, so it's all shit. Skates, you're up.
All right, I want to take a swing at the fella just to the north of me. Oh, obviously, with his hunter's marking first.
That's a miss. 8.
Yeah, well, that is a miss.
Yeah, an 8 to hit is a miss. Not doing too well. You're kind of, you know, just, you're a...
It's hit a miss at the minute, isn't it? We're doing a bit well and then a bit shit.
Mm.
As a bonus action, I'm nothing. I just prepare myself, obviously. So
okay, we've got a goblin up. So goblin... can't really do much. Goblin cannot.
I did have a go and you missed.
Yeah, so you had a go and missed. So he's going to take a step backwards using its nimble escape so he doesn't incur from burr and shoot an arrow at somebody. Scapes or burr higher.
Will he get a disadvantage on that, will he? Or just a harder
to hit. Burr, do you want high or low?
High.
There you go.
Okay, so fucking scapes. Fuck's sake.
Oh, no.
Basically, in a nat 20 to hit you. And I fucking rolled a 16, which would have fucking hit
you. It would have hit me. Yeah.
It would have hit you, but shooting through two of its allies, I'm going to give you at least a fucking plus 2 to your AC.
Yeah.
So it's going to miss you.
What a shame.
Yeah. What a shame. Right, this goblin's going to follow suit and go up here somewhere as well. And this one's going to shoot for Burr. Fuck it. Fuck a lot of you. And it hits. I rolled a 19.
Oh,
yeah. Doing a whopping 3 points of damage.
Is that with disadvantage?
It doesn't have disadvantage.
No.
Oh, don't have disadvantage from fairy fire.
No, only one hobgoblin is glowing. This one hobgoblin is glowing pink. And they don't get disadvantage. You have advantage to hit it.
Oh, we have advantage.
That one hobgoblin, which is conveniently at the back.
But because he's shooting through friends.
Then you get... So basically there's a kind of...
I get a plus two in my armor class, so it's not enough anyway. Yeah.
Got you. I rolled a 19. Plus four would have been 23. So
yeah,
for 3 points of damage, I think I said. Yeah. It's your turn, Bo. You've got some hobgoblins in front of you.
Well, I'm going to take one in front of me, and I...
Might as well.
For fuck's sake.
Give it a go.
A 10 plus 5 ain't going to do it.
10 plus 5.
I should probably start rolling 15 now.
Hobgoblin misses.
Jesus.
Bonus action to attack with your other sword. I'm
going to have to, aren't I? So I have to roll it again to hit. Fuck it. 6.
Miss.
Jeez.
God, we're going to be here all night. Hobgoblin. That's the one that you just attacked in front of you. Is going to riposte and make an attack back. Is that the right word? I don't know. Mm. 20 to hit.
Yeah.
For 6 points of damage.
Fucking hell, I'm down to 14. Again.
Oh, just as well Millicent gave you that healing word, eh?
It is, isn't it?
And we're back to the top of the... you were the top of the initiative, so it's Pock's turn.
Fuck all I can do now, except for...
you can have your bow out.
Yeah, let's have some short bow action happening. Either one, really. I'll go for the one near Millicent.
On the left. On the west, yeah, that's fine. So between Skokes and Millicent. Make an attack roll,
D20. 13. Short bow plus 2, so 15.
Now, I will just say that if you'd shot the one behind it that's fairy fired, you'd have advantage.
Oh, I didn't think I could because they were in the way.
No, you can shoot through them, but you just get... They do have a slightly higher AC.
How do you feel about retconning that because of my shitty knowledge of the game?
Okay. I mean, you've got... you go for it.
Yeah?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be difficult to hit regardless, so... You might as well give it a go.
Okay.
I was going to be all night, so go for it. Viewers are dropping off like flies. So we need to make it more interesting. Let's just kill everyone. A dragon appears.
So am I re-rolling the advantage?
Just roll another dice. D20 and see if you roll better than last time.
No, I didn't.
Then you miss.
Fuck.
That's pretty much it. You missed anyway. Okay.
Oh, fuck this game.
this hobgoblin, it attacked. Who did it attack last time? I believe it attacked Millicent last time. Again, we'll go odds and evens for Sean Pock. Do you want to pick odds or evens for Millicent?
Odds.
Odds for Millicent. So that's... a miss anyway. Just roll to hit is a 10, and her AC is 14, so that's a miss. And now it is Millicent's turn. Cool, we're just rolling miss after miss, everyone, aren't we?
I know. Same again for Millicent. Then two swipes at the guy.
Yeah,
that's 4.
Miss
and a 12
plus something is a miss.
I'm on the wrong sheet.
Miss. Just dagger on
it. It's a miss. Yeah.
Fuck. Yeah.
I wonder with Millicent whether she what might be more useful throwing out the cutting words. It's simply because it will give them some disadvantage, but they're mostly missing you anyway, apart from Burr. They seem to love Burr, but
yeah, they keep spanking me.
We're not rolling hits.
No one is. We're gonna be here all night.
Points of disadvantage and everything.
13. So this one at the back that's glowing in pink is going to roll an 18 to hit Millicent. If I give her an extra 2 to her AC for being slightly behind the corner, it's still a hit. So Millicent is going to take 5 points of damage. And then Skates, come on, son. Do something useful.
Well, I'm going to try and whack this geezer, aren't I?
Do it.
Let's have a look. I pressed it. We've just got to wait.
Oh, the suspense.
Yeah, I can feel it. It's coming.
Should we get Droop in?
It's going to be like 20.
Problem is, the Duke was ordered to go and watch the body.
I know. Shall I go get him? He'll smash all of these up.
He would.
Yeah, it'd probably be your problem.
Have you pushed the button? Come
on. Why isn't this right? I've pressed it and it ain't happening, so I'm going to roll it.
Dory.
Normally.
Come on.
19 to hit. That's a hit.
All right.
For 5 points of damage.
5.
Plus the hunter's mark.
Plus my D6.
I'm going to tell you.
And
it's dead.
Yeah!
Yeah! Bat something. Bat time, isn't it?
It is. What are you going to do next?
Have I got another. Oh. I'd like to move forward one square.
Yeah, you got your bonus action. Do you want to move the hunter's mark over to something else?
No, I will do that on the start of my next turn. I'd like to move one space forward.
You can do both. You've got to move an action and a bonus.
Oh yeah, of course. I haven't used my bonus. Okay, no, because I didn't kill that. That guy didn't have the hunter's mark. Sorry.
I thought he did. I thought you gave it to him like about 2 rounds back.
Oh, of course I did. He was the one in front. You know what? It's the purple dot that's confusing me.
Yeah. So
All right. I'd like to move there. And I tell you what, I'll put advantage on the one in front of Burr. I'll put my hunter's mark on the one to the east of me.
This one. Just
get him in a corner.
So hunter's mark. They don't have. You don't get advantage. It's just more damage, isn't it?
Yeah. Sorry, it's the extra D6.
Right. So you've stepped up forward in front of Millicent, putting yourself between the two hobgoblins that are there, blocking the gap so no one else can get through. We have a goblin now who will take a move back down this corner where it can see you a little bit better and will shoot its bow at you. I rolled a fucking 18, bitch. So plus 4 is 22. Fucking
go on
it. For a whopping 4 Think points someone's... of damage. Have it.
Yeah, fine.
It's just nice to have someone rolling well.
Isn't it? Yeah. We can all bask in the glory. You know, it's a team effort. The next goblin will position itself a little bit better. Probably just go for Burr again. Sorry. Miss you because it's got to shoot through the hobby goblin. And misses
Excellent.
You. And we're back at the top of the round. I should have been keeping track of these. What? This is a nice long battle. This is longer than the red brand hideout. I'm starting to fall asleep. This is boring.
Tedious battle.
I'm sorry. Let's make it interesting. Let's make some.
Let's spice it up.
Give us some stand up, Sean.
I've got some ideas.
Good. Go for it. Burr, what are you doing, son?
I might as well have an attack on this one in front of me.
Might as well. Give it a little tickle.
For fuck's sake. 10.
Oh, he's not having the luck today.
Not having any luck at all. And then I'm going to disengage, I think.
Okay. You can do that because you're a swashbuckler.
A swashbuckler.
As long as it does... Yeah, so the rakish audacity, you read it earlier on, as long as it doesn't have... As long as there's no other creature, or let's have a look. So you can make a step attack. You've got your fancy footwork, so you don't need to use your cunning action to disengage. So you might as well make the
just going
to
move in. Sorry, so you might as well
make the second attack.
Is it raining?
See if you hit, and then you can still disengage anyway.
You don't hit,
and then you can disengage. This is what you want to do. You can draw him forward and then get behind him for that flanking bonus. And then next turn, you can move back in. See? He's going to take a step forward then and attack Pock because he's been having an easy ride.
Yeah. I don't have any other actions, do I? Because I could take that healing potion.
No, you only get one action.
I've used them all, and
one action. Okay. So he takes a step forward, goes to attack Pock, but misses. Pock, you're up.
Now I'm close to him. My short bow's a bit weird, isn't it, when it's this close?
So you can make the attack at disadvantage, I believe.
How do you feel about me bottling him
with
my zombie dust if I hold my breath?
Okay, go on. Improvised weapon.
Improvised weapon.
So you'd have to drop your bow on the floor to That's reach fine. Into your sack and pull out this bottle and smash him with it. Mm-hmm. Rolls a hit, D20, plus your strength modifier and proficiency.
13
mm-hmm.
on the dice.
Yeah.
Plus two
is 15 to your miss.
Oh, fuck. Okay.
And you're stood there with this bottle in your hand, like, come and have a go if you think you're hard enough.
Worth a go.
You've got swords. I'm sure you've got a sword or something.
I've got a dagger.
dagger. Do you know?
But I just thought that the dust has some sort of saving throw, doesn't it?
It does,
I thought it was worth a go.
Yeah, it's the zombie dust that you took from Thunder Tree. You collected those of dust from the ash zombies, which give people disadvantage if they on rolls. Okay, right. That hobgoblin is dead. It's Millicent's turn. She can bundle past Scapes, get behind that hobgoblin, and attack from the rear with advantage.
Sounds great.
Yeah, do it.
She will do just that.
Mm-hmm. Roll 2d20s and take the highest result plus whatever her attack modifier is.
It's an 11.
Against a hobgoblin in the rear is a miss, I'm afraid.
Oh, fuck.
Second attack. Roll with advantage. See if she hits. I'm going to fall asleep.
No one's got to work tomorrow.
I know. I really want to finish this combat before bed. I don't want to drag this into a third week.
We've got to tidy this up now.
You're winning. It's just a matter of dice, you know. But the thing is, the tides could turn. I could still take you out. But, I mean, if it keeps on going this way, you're going to win. It's just going to be slow. But all it takes is a crit. All it takes is a well-placed crit call to take one of you out. So,
we haven't rolled 20 for ages.
Well, she gets a second attack with her dagger.
Oh, sorry. Okay. That's a natural fucking 20.
Hey, you're the lying, cheating bastard. I don't believe it for a second.
Maybe. I promise.
So it's a dagger attack, second attack with the two weapon fighting. So it's just a d4. So you automatically are going to do 4 points of damage. Roll another d4 to see how much is on top.
I took a picture.
No, after you've conveniently turned it around and placed it 20 side up.
You know I can do Photoshop, right?
Yeah. Come on, roll that d4.
That's a 3.
So 7 points of damage.
Lovely.
Right, it's still standing now, unfortunately. But it's a good start of doing something. A glowing pink thingy standing in front of Scapes who's going to take an attack, rolling 21 to hit Mother Funster.
So you're loving this, aren't you?
I am. For 5 points of damage against Scapes. To and fro in. Scapes, you're up, though. Would you like to return the favour?
Okay.
This one is glowing in fairy fire, which gives you advantage.
Yeah, I'll go for that.
However, this one is not the one that you marked with your hunter's mark. But you get...
No, this is the other one. But for the advantage, I'm going for it.
Do it.
We've just got to wait.
4 hours.
I'm really sorry about this. And now I was thinking to myself, we can just speed it up a bit. No, obviously not. There you go. 15 or 14. Which...
Both a miss.
Both a miss.
Oh, man.
Both a miss.
This is a kicker, isn't it?
It's boring, isn't it? Boring. We're gonna.
To be fair, I am enjoying it.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it.
I'm having fun. But you know.
Finish him off.
It's gonna take off. This goblin is going to take
a cartwheel. Something. Anything.
Some kind of flip backwards, and as it's in the air, Matrix style, spin around and shoot Millicent, and miss. Serves it right for being a cocky bastard. And then this goblin is going to also shoot Millicent. And hit. Oof. 7 points of damage in Millicent's back.
Ouch.
How is she looking?
She's currently on 13. So and I can't do maths.
So 6 left.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And we're back to the top of the initiative order with Burr.
Okay, I'm going to run in.
And attack.
When it moves. And I'm going to attack.
You get
with advantage.
With fucking advantage.
Come on.
15 plus 5.
That's a hit.
That's a hit.
Yeah.
Roll 1d8 damage. A d8 plus, was it 4 your mod?
Five? D8 plus 3.
Plus 3.
That's a 6 plus 3. That's a 9. That's
so
dead.
It is dead.
Fuck you.
Come on.
Yeah, that's
boom.
It,
okay.
Jesus.
Right.
This episode is testament to Millicent,
you've just moved, how many feet did you just move? 10.
Yeah, 10.
So you've still got 15 feet of movement and a second attack that you can make.
Okay. Should I try and clear up some of these gobos?
Yeah, that's a good idea.
An attack on that gobo.
Okay, before you do anything.
Go on.
Because there are two of us.
Can you roll me a dexterity saving throw, please?
It's 9. Oh, no, sorry. 9 plus 3. 12.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. The dusty plaster and rubble in front of the door that leads from over there conceals a copper tripwire connected to linchpins hidden in the ruined ceiling. Any creature that walks over or through the rubble without avoiding the tripwire triggers a cave-in of wooden beams and heavy stones. The area of the collapse is marked on my version of the map. You don't get to see that. Any creature in the area when the trap triggers must succeed on a DC 10 dexterity saving throw or take 3d6 bludgeoning damage from the falling rubble. Half as much on a successful save.
Well, so it still takes 8.
It's still going to take some. We've got to roll it. So the goblins know there's a tripwire there, so they've been hopping over it.
Okay.
So that is a really poor roll. I literally rolled a 1, a 2, and a 3. So that's 6 points of damage. You'll take half of that, 3 points of damage, as all this rubble falls down you and you bounce off of it.
Okay.
The goblin takes 6 points of damage.
No. Okay. So I still get an attack on the goblin? Or am I, have a look.
Doesn't say that. It doesn't say otherwise. Yeah, go for it.
Okay. 16 plus 5 is 21.
Are you kidding? It's only got one hit point left.
Yeah. He's dead.
Yeah. Pock, your turn.
Right, come on. It's a 13 plus whatever the improvised weapon.
Well, you're sacking with the bottle or your dagger?
Oh, let's use a bottle. Fuck it.
So you'd have proficiency with it. So it's basically whatever your modifier is in your character sheet for your dagger is the same modifier.
Plus four, okay, plus 4.
So, what's
so that's a 19.
That's a hit.
Okay.
So, D4 damage.
D4 damage with the ill behavior. Oh, shit. Oh, it's on the chair. Hold on. That's a 3.
And it's going to take 3 points of damage as this bottle smashes over its head.
Oh, okay. Plus 2.
Oh, God. I'll have it 5 points of damage as this bottle smashes over its head. Can you, Scapes,
I'm holding my breath,
and Medicine all make a saving throw for me. I will give you advantage as you knew that this was a possibility, Pock, but nobody else did. So Pock can roll advantage. Medicine and Scapes need to make a saving throw. I'll find out what type of saving throw for you. Give me a moment.
Sorry, guys. I thought this would just be a 5.
No, that's fine.
5 square job.
Constitution saving throw, please.
I rolled a natural 20 and a 12.
That's a success.
2.
Oh, okay. This bottle smashes over the over the shoulder or the side of the head of this hobgoblin. This puff pours out, and you just weren't prepared for it, and you snuff it in. You're now going to be rolling with disadvantage.
Is it a disease?
It's not a disease. We had this conversation last time. It's just some kind of weird magical effect that just gives you disadvantage. Yeah, it's not Millicent a disease.
Millicent rolled a 12.
That's a save. Millicent's turn. She's next to you. She's kind of in the middle of all four of you, all three of you.
If she can follow up the attack,
she can just basically move straight through you and attack the goblin. She can skirt round the hobgoblin and attack it in the rear. She could probably attack it from the hobgoblin from where she's standing if you want to.
Yeah, if she can attack the
hobgoblin. I'll tell you what, though, if you go for that goblin, then we've got like 4 around the other hobgoblin.
Okay.
Which is obviously going to give us the advantage again, isn't it?
Yeah.
So you're going to move straight up and attack the goblin, yeah?
From there, yeah?
Yeah, go for it. D20 to hit with that sword.
15
hits.
Lovely.
So that's a short sword, so it's a D6 plus whatever her ability modifier is for damage.
That's a 4. So it's a 6 in total.
6 points of damage. Oh, just still alive, but she gets the bonus attack with her dagger.
17
hits, and it's going to kill it. It's only got 1 hit point left.
1d4.
She's getting quite adept at this maneuver. She runs in. She kind of kind of fakes an attack with her sword, which kind of slashes at it, and then comes round again with this dagger. It's like a 1-2 attack. She's a professional, killing this goblin. So it's the hobgoblin's turn. Oh, everyone's all around it. I think it might attack Pock because you just fucking bottled it. I didn't make it roll a saving throw. Let me just check. Yeah, it succeeds. I rolled a fucking natural 20, first one of the night. So luckily that was for the saving throw and not for the attack against you, Pock. Against you, it rolled a 4. So it misses. Scapes.
I'll take that.
Scapes. So basically,
okay, can I?
Here it goes. Go on. you've breathed in this stuff and you're not feeling very well. It's just kind of like, you know, you just breathed in a load of manky ash and you're kind of like struggling to breathe. Your eyes are watering a little bit, which would give you disadvantage. However, this hobgoblin has fairy fire around it, which gives you advantage. So therefore, they cancel each other out and you just roll like normal, 1d20.
And how about the fact that it's got three people around it?
So you either have advantage or you don't. So you can't get advantage twice. You have advantage and you have disadvantage. Right. So yes, it has advantage, but you have disadvantage. They cancel each other out, so you just have a normal attack.
It don't matter. I missed.
That's a miss. Burr.
All right, finish it. Am I bowling with advantage?
Yeah, have advantage. You're basically all surrounding it now. Roll for advantage. Yeah.
11 plus 5, that's not a
that's
hit.
A miss.
And 12 plus 5, that's not a hit either.
17 is a miss. Bonus action for your second attack.
That's a 12 plus. Yeah, that ain't a hit, is it?
Yeah, but you've still got advantage, so we can roll that again. All the dice rolls.
7.
That's a miss. Fucking hell.
I am doing shit.
Pop. Finish him.
can I move away as well?
You've still got, now you've got a jagged glass bottle in your hand, which you can make another attack with if you want. With advantage.
Yeah, yeah, fuck it, why not?
Burr, yes, you can move away if you want to. Sorry, mate.
11 plus 4, 15.
Miss. Oh, here we go.
Shit!
Millicent, MVP for the night.
Come on, finish him.
Takes a sidestep to get right behind it. Rolls with advantage.
7.
Was that with advantage?
With advantage.
She has a second attack with her dagger.
Fucking hell, 5.
With advantage.
Both with, yeah, the other dice was a 3 in both cases.
Okay. Right.
Someone else roll for Millicent.
It's the goblin's turn. 3 of you around it.
Fuck. Is it bored? Can it commit suicide?
Yeah, basically. I think it's going to keep on attacking you, Pock, simply because you fucking glassed it. Yeah. Everyone else seems to be missing it, so it's like, you're the threat. And I rolled a 2. Escapes. Come on, mate. I need to go to bed.
Yeah.
Come on,
Tim. Do I get advantage here?
No, you're just a normal roll.
Natural 20.
Come on.
Should I roll the damage? Is it worth it?
We're in a fanfare, like,
I'll put fireworks in the podcast.
Finally.
Do you want me to roll damage?
Jesus.
Right. So, I mean, it's dead. It's dead. Well, you're going to do. Dead, yeah. Yeah, right. It's dead. I mean, a D8, so you're doing 8 points of damage straight off the back. It's only got 6 hit points left, so it's dead. Mm. Then you roll on top of that. Then you add your modifier. Then you add your hunter's mark. It's fucking dead.
Yeah, it's dead.
It's dead. How do you do it? Thank the last God. One. How do you finish it off?
Oh, I just do it like really pissed off, just like really lazily, like, fuck, so just fucking die. Like that.
So, excellent.
Yeah, not really fancy, just annoyed.
Brilliant.
And while we're here, yeah, I'm just going to take some of these goblins' shoes just so I can give Droop a present for looking after the.
Yeah.
Give him some shoes. So you're not going to give him his own shoes back. You're going to give him somebody else's shoes.
Keeping them. They're going to be like
an owner thing. He's our bottom bitch.
Yeah. All right. Well, I suppose we'll find out what's in the rest of this castle next week, really.
we might want to take a break and go outside for a bit.
Yeah, maybe. See what's left. Take some potions. Get on in there. Maybe go and hide in one of those rooms. Have a short rest. We'll see. See what you want to do next week. Have a think about it. We've got a week for you guys to talk about and what you want to do. Otherwise, thank you very much, everybody, who's joined us this evening in the chat. We've still got a solid 10 people. They've been talking away. Lots of talk about, have they got advantage? Have they got advantage? Is it flanked? So someone called Overhuman Dog says, hi, that map looks rad. Excellent. It's the official module purchased on Roll20 for the Lost Mind of Phandelva. I want to say the map was designed by someone called Mike Sheely or something like that. It's in the official set anyway. We were lucky enough that during the coronavirus pandemic, like back in May, they were actually allowing people to buy it for free. And I've kind of jumped on that. But otherwise, that's where you can find it. Troy Tempest, thank you. Lecky Mekon did join late, but he's been in there chalking away. Thank you very much. Luca Roo joined late as well. Thank you very much for joining us today. So thank you very much, everyone who joined us. Anybody listening to the podcast at home or watching on YouTube later on as well, thank you very much for taking time out of your life to support us. Please do follow us on Twitter at ShowD&D, Facebook at ShowD&D. If you have any feedback, any comments, any questions that you want answered, even if it's personal, we're going to go into the dirty. Send us an email, showthednd@gmail.com. You can find me on Twitter personally at Lukey_baby86. Reviews, please send us some love. Talk to us. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Do you want to flog your shit, Sean, before you sign off?
Yeah, fuck it, why not? You can follow me on Sean Effley on Instagram or Sean Lee Films if you're interested in the content side of things and video and various other doodahs.
If you're watching the video or watching the stream and you like any of the visual effects that you see, like these whatever they're called, the overlays and stuff, Sean designed all of these and you do sell your services for that kind of stuff?
Hell yeah.
Yeah. So get in touch on Instagram. What do you do? What businesses do? How many pies have you got fingers in?
Lots of pies. Jack of all trades.
Wedding photographer?
I do a lot of video work. Content creation is what I'll umbrella it all under.
You also edit the podcast and you do a fine job.
Yes, do a bit of sound work.
Is that something that you'd be interested in? If anybody was like, you know what, actually, I could do with a professional editing my podcast, would you sell your services for that?
Absolutely.
There you go. You've heard it here first. Contact one of us on Twitter or on Instagram, Sean Iffley. Burr.
Yeah. Find me at Gav Beer and Beards. And I do run the official D&D show Instagram now. So it's at the D&D show.
Get in touch. Yeah. Get in touch. Yeah. And James Scapes.
You can't find me. No one can find me. Not even my own family can find me.
Off the grid.
Off the grid. But have you had totally. Apart from...
You can find me.
We can find you for our show.
The D20, man.
The D20. What?
Yeah. No. I'm talking to you and you're talking to me, but we're both having a separate conversation. That's what's happening.
Well, yeah, if they want to speak to you, they can contact one of us or me or the show or something. But what I was going to say was... have you enjoyed yourself this evening at least?
I did, and especially the D20 I rolled at the end.
Yeah, that was good.
That was a good way to finish it.
It was a good way to end the show. Brilliant. Well, thank you very much.
And also the musical arrangement expertise.
All right.
Of course. Well, so hopefully if you're listening to the podcast, we're going to have the new song on there, which the people watching live haven't heard. If you want to hear it, download the podcast for the latest podcast, episode 11, which is entitled... something about the Droop Show. It's all
We're all stars now in the Droop Show,
episode 11. Download it. It's on the intro to part two if you want to hear it. James, like, have you ever thought about kind of like selling your musical services or anything like that?
Oh, I certainly would. If someone offered me money for it, they would just get a yes straight away. Yeah.
There you go. So if you listen to it and you like it and you think, you know what, actually, again, my show could do with some nice kind of music, get in touch. We'll see if we can hook you up with James and get something for you.
Anyway, I'm okay.
Yeah, give you something to do. All right, guys.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Have a good night. Thank you, everyone who tuned in. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Whatever. Love you. Be safe. Bye.
Thanks, everyone, for tuning in.
The D&D Show would like to thank Sorco Soundscapes on YouTube for the music used in this recording. Find them on Twitter at Sorco Sounds. Thank you to Lewis Gell for writing our theme tune. Find him on Twitter at LewisSWGell. And thank you to our very own James Bly for creating the new incredible orchestral arrangement. Lastly, from all of us here at the D&D Show, thank you for downloading our podcast. You are amazing. We'll see you next time. The D&D Show is unofficial fan content permitted under the fan content policy and is not approved or endorsed by Wizards. Portions of the materials used are property of Wizards of the Coast LLC.
Welcome to Roleplay Retcon Studios, located at the nexus of all alternate universes, including the sexy vampire ones.
Ooh.
At Roleplay Roleplay Retcon, we remake famously disappointing movies using comedy, hindsight, and tabletop RPGs.
Like Dungeons & Dragons?
Yes, but specifically not Dungeons & Dragons. We take a second pass at guilty pleasures like Batman and Robin or Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, and even some controversial favorites like Twilight.
But I love those movies.
We do too, and all of the movies we do have something to love. If they didn't, there would be nothing to reimagine. At the end of each series, we compare our vision to the original films, because why the f*** not?
I can't wait to listen to Roleplay Retcon, wherever podcasts are available.
I'm gonna listen to it before you do.
Danger, mystery, intrigue. Think you've heard all that actual play podcasts have to offer? Think again. I'm Nate Peterson. I'm Nate Peterson, the dungeon master for... Yes, Stuart, what can I do for you?
I know naught of this, Stuart. My name is Dweezil Vansafir, the Bard of Bards.
Well, firstly, your name's Stuart and you're from Yorkshire. Secondly, I don't know if you've noticed, I'm trying to record an advert for our show.
Well, firstly, in your parlance, I've never even heard of this Yorkshire. And secondly, if there is a show to be advertised, then surely it should be I, Dweezil Vansafir, to do the advertising.
I wouldn't have thought so. I mean, surely this is a job for me as the Dungeon Master.
Perhaps a, song.
No, I certainly don't think it's time for a song.
Five adventurers, brave and true, strong of will and strong of arm, a band unbreakable through and through. They protect each other from insult and harm. What more persuasion could one require? Tune in to hear our tales.
Dice and Desire. You see, Stuart, words do have power, but certainly not as much power as the Dungeon Master. Join me as I corral my merry band of misfits through Storm King's Thunder every week on Dice and Desire, a 5e actual play podcast.